Okay, it's 7 o'clock. So, could I bring the meeting to order, please? This is the Red Rock Citizens Advisory Council, February 23rd, 2022. Can we all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Let's see. What's next? We got the. I guess we have a. You've already done the roll call, I assume, meaning here we are?
Yeah, I just look and see. I make a note.
Okay. And so this is the public comment period. If anybody wants to give comments about items on this agenda ahead of getting to those actual items, does anyone have those? No? We're good? Great. Okay, so next we have the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Does anybody have any comments on those?
Yeah, but I talked to Lara and a few minor little punctuation or whatever.
Okay, whatever.
It's said simple.
Okay.
So I make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting from January 26th.
And, so can do we take a vote on this then? I approve. You approve?
I can't vote.
Dallas just was appointed, and we don't have his official. He hasn't been sworn in yet, so he's here to participate, but he can't vote.
I see. Okay.
Demand the police thing with your name.
Oh yeah, and I have those. It's just after being back and forth, then I have all of them. I just need to
put okay. In. Well, let's see. That was that one. And, okay.
The agenda.
So, approval of tonight's agenda. Any comments on this? Do we cover what's in the agenda? Is that the
nobody needs anything taken out of place or anything. So I move to approve the agenda. February 23rd.
Put the vote on approval.
Approve.
So 3 out of 5. Okay, and so now we have our informational items. If anybody's wondering why I'm sort of questioning stuff, I've only had to chair one of these, so I'm just making sure I get my procedures properly in place so that we don't invalidate the whole meeting or whatever. So first, we want to welcome Dallas Simonette here. It's our newest member. Welcome aboard. And we want to thank Trent Billingsley, who we actually want to be jealous because he's in Florida right now enjoying the warmth and playing with his boat and whatever, but we can thank him instead. So now I guess it's time.
Can we also thank Sheila for all the work that she did? Like, she was always there with the bike
sure,
path and stuff
like
that.
Totally
so Sheila,
she's not going to come back for that. his wife Sheila was very involved, so we thank her as well for being so involved with the community here. So. And now I guess it's time for the report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District.
All right. Good evening. Jordan Bunker with the Las Vegas Valley Water District for your hydrology update this evening. The monthly reading and data collection for the wells was completed yesterday, February 22nd, 2022. Still confirming whether it happened at 2:22. the data gathered indicates that the North Well has a static water level of 19.96 feet below land surface, and the South Well's static level is 19.8 feet below land surface. So that's a decline of just less than 2 inches. Or so since last month, and about 5 feet from February of last year. As far as system operations go, on Thursday, February 17th, we did some maintenance work, so we took down the 3630 zone, which is basically the upper zone, kind of everything on the other side of Minder Binder, just to replace several valves at the water tanks. We did our best to let all of the impacted residents know, either by door hangers or in person, And we also did the work at like 3 a.m. just to minimize the impact to anybody. Everything was completed successfully, went well, lasted 2 or 3 hours. And we just appreciate everybody's patience as we get those things done. That concludes my report. I'm happy to take questions if there are any.
Well, I have a question. You used the word just 2 inches or whatever below the previous month.
Yeah.
But surely when you look at the trend since 2019, it's sort of disheartening, I guess.
It for sure is. And the reason I said just is because I believe it was significantly more than 2 inches last month that I was here. So if there is a silver lining, it's only a 2-inch decline, but yes, it's still a decline.
Well, I guess what gives us hope is that after a bad 2019, 2020 got a lot better. Do we have a hypothetical cause for why 2020 was much better? Did we have a lot of rain that year?
Yeah. So 2019, if you'll recall, I don't know if anyone does, 2019 was an extremely wet year in southern Nevada. And you see in 2020, the aquifer was nice and recharged because of all that precipitation that was received in 2019.
Okay. Yeah. Does this apply generally to, like, outside of Blue Diamond, all the various, you know, static levels of wells throughout the
It's really different. I mean, you can't really compare Blue Diamonds to Kyle Canyon, where it snows all winter, right. You know, or Searchlight, where they're literally, like, in the middle of the desert. So, I mean, obviously, the whole southwest United States is experiencing historic drought that's worse than anything on record. So in that sense, yes, everybody's experiencing the same thing. But as far as comparing the different water systems, it's just really hard to do because they're all so different.
Mm-hmm. What is the aquifer that we're in here? What's the name of it? Is it the Mount Potosi aquifer?
No.
I don't know what it's called, actually.
No, the Mount Potosi aquifer, I think that's 160, basin 162.
Okay.
Yeah,
this I'm not sure exactly. This is
not, it's not the same basin as Mount Springs.
Is it the Cougar Reservoir?
No, that's a reservoir, but that's not a basin. They're talking about what's the name of the underground.
I do
aquifer.
Know that this aquifer is replenished by the Spring Mountains. That's what the report
by the Spring
says
Mountains.
That
but,
out.
Yeah, is that different than Mount Potosi? Is that part of the Spring Mountains?
No, Mount Potosi is part of it.
It is.
Yeah, it's on the report also.
But it's actually in a different basin. Mount Potosi and Mount it is Mountain Springs is in Basin 162.
Oh. I mean, we have precipitation gauges there that we do monitor. There is some sort of impact that they do have on this aquifer here, for sure.
What is the depth of this well?
80 feet.
80 feet.
The well is drilled down to 80 feet. Both wells are drilled down to 80 feet.
But and these numbers are the static level, basically.
That's right. That's, yeah, with the wells off, that's the level. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And just so, at the meeting of... The Las Vegas Valley Water District before the County Commission, it was mentioned there's 122 connections here in town, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Five phases of rehabilitation with the project that's coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Spring of 22, bids for the pipes go out, and $15 million is the cost. 75% Army Corps is paying, and 25% from the state of Nevada. So you said it was going to be on, so I watched.
Yeah,
it,
no,
so.
I made that presentation that you watched, so yeah, it's actually.
It was short and sweet, so it was nice.
Yeah, it was very quick.
It was
sure.
Nice, so yeah,
where,
it was
where was that presentation?
It was
at the Las Vegas Valley Water District Board of Directors meeting at the beginning of the month.
Yeah.
It happens every first Tuesday of the month, just right before the County Commissioners meet.
It's like the first 15-20 minutes.
Like you can go to a link and see it?
Yeah.
If you go to the Water District's website.
County website.
Okay. On that Tuesday morning, it'll take you to...
Yeah.
Take you right
or if you go to the county website and go under residents, and they'll say, watch CCTV4 live, mm-hmm. and that'll show you the commission meeting.
Mm-hmm. And you said that was the 13th? The 13th of
January? No, that meeting was the 1st.
The 1st of February.
Yep.
Yeah, but it starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, the first
get,
it was the first Tuesday of February.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had opened up the topic about putting the, and I think Megan, you might be helpful here, putting in high-speed internet into the trenches that mm-hmm. they're going to be. So how, Megan, you had given us...
They talked about it last month.
Yeah, but they said, I think you said that we would have to find someone who is willing, that is possible, but we have to kind of shepherd it. How do we shepherd it? Give me a hint.
Probably be CenturyLink.
Just like call? Start?
CenturyLink, which is Lumen. So they have fiber at the corner, 159 and 160. So if you were to do it, that's probably where they would trench in the fiber from there.
Well, that sounds like a...
It's not really a county function. I don't do utilities. So if you guys want to do that, I encourage you, and I'll help if you need something.
That sounds,
but that's
like they'd have to bring the fiber optic all the way from 159 and 160. That sounds
probably
really for voting.
Well,
I thought we had high speed at the restaurant. What is that about?
I think all you have out here.
I was talking to a CenturyLink guy who was working at my house,
yeah.
And he said that there's a couple places here in town, like
yeah.
the restaurant, and then another person, I don't know if it's GT or whoever, somebody, they already had fiber.
Yeah. High speed.
Okay. You can't understand why there wasn't fiber everywhere here.
I don't think it's fiber. I think they have something else, but I don't think it's fiber.
I mean, he was mistaken.
Yeah.
I just thought. You know.
They have high speed, but I don't think it's fiber.
Yeah,
I wish Chi-Chi was here. He's here every other month until we have a question for him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he brought something in over there, and they're wanting to put it in the fire station.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless it was the Las Vegas.
Do you guys have
line
of sight?
I think it's Vegas Wi-Fi.
But
do you guys have
line
of sight in El Potosi for me?
Okay, well, I guess that's kind of just on us then.
I think when Nina was the librarian, I think she said there was some kind of deal set up between the library system and CenturyLink where they got it here, but whether it's just isolated just to the library and, you know.
And the restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurant here. I don't know, but I just remember her saying that one time, so I'm not sure.
Ask the restaurant who they use. I don't know.
I mean, obviously our priority is making sure you guys have water and getting our projects done. So, I mean, if there's a job and you're able to connect with the company that's willing to do it, they're more than welcome to reach out to us to see if we can somehow coordinate the work. But, like I said, we're going to continue to move forward with the projects that we have scheduled for the community.
I just was wanting to...
And can I just confirm, there's still a moratorium on new services in town?
Yeah, that was the main reason for the presentation that was given to the Board of County Commissioners. When the moratorium first went into place, we committed to coming back to the board every year, just with a kind of a community update. Here's where we are. And what our general manager, John Ensminger, reported was that it's the same hydrology that I report here every month. Mm-hmm. They're still going down, so now is not an advisable time to lift the moratorium.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Is that railroad line, is that part of the Blue Diamond Mars system? Where does that water come from?
Arden.
No.
Oh, that's Arden, yeah.
It comes out of the springs that are here in the park, which we don't even know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The springs in the park.
So it's a totally different system.
Yeah, totally different system. Yeah, they have water rights that they pull from there and feed downstream.
Jordan, are you here as part of the Blue Diamond water system or part of the Las Vegas Valley water system? Because I got a question, depending on what your answer is. Does that make sense?
So I'm the Las Vegas Valley Water District liaison to the community of Blue Diamond for the Blue Diamond Water District.
All right, well, let me ask you the question.
Shoot,
let me ask you the question. With the Cougar Reservoir being planned, okay, would, according to the NRS, that if there's a water line that's within 180 feet of a well, that the Division of Water Resources could make people with wells hook up to Lake Mead water, let's call it.
To the municipal water system.
Yeah, municipal water system.
Yeah.
Can we find out whether that is true?
Yeah, actually, it's my colleagues at work that administer that program on behalf of the, it's a groundwater management program. They administer that program on behalf of the state. I can probably give you a phone number or an address to call for more information. But
yeah, please. I'd appreciate that. Just email.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a grant program associated with it and everything. For sure, I can provide you that information. I don't have it on me, but I'll shoot you an email and I'll give you a call.
Good. Yeah. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Sorry, I just want to get in there. I had a question about the...
Can you say your name, please?
Oh, yeah, okay. Judy Brandt, Alan Cowan. I had a question about the project, the pipeline, and you know, replacement water tank project, that whole project, and the timing, basically the priority of each part. How is that? What is the timing on that actually being that to construction? And it's going, you know, pipeline, whatever is going out to bid, but what's the timing on construction on that?
I would assume, because we haven't gone out to bid yet, but right. Once it goes out to bid, the contract's been awarded, I would assume within 3 to 4 months we would be done with the work.
You'd be done with the work? Okay.
Are you talking just the sewer service line replacements? Or
yeah, so it would be service line and all just the mains. This would just be for the pipelines, nothing else. It's just for the pipeline replacements.
Okay, just for the mains. Does that include moving the meters?
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, our engineering was talking something along 3 months to finish the project.
Okay. When do they have a projected start date?
You know, the challenge that we have right now is that that matching fund that Bob was just talking about earlier, that $2.5 million that we're hoping to get matched by the state, they have to sign an agreement in order for us to get that money. And until they do that, until we have those matching funds, we cannot proceed. So they basically are being held up by that right now. Otherwise, we might have already had the contract out to bid.
Wow.
So we're having to wait until the state signs that agreement so that we can, because we cannot construct until we have that agreement in place. They won't reimburse any money.
But you can put it out to bid before that.
If we did, then what would happen is any construction that we went and proceeded on, then the town of Blue Diamond, we would be responsible for that 25% matching requirement.
Right.
So out of $3 million for pipelines, 25% is more than the town of Blue Diamond can afford. Right. So that's why we're kind of on pause right now.
Can the people of Blue Diamond do anything to help move the state along?
You know, I was wondering, I mean, do you think?
No, I mean, it's just, there are things that take time. I mean,
send another letter and send it to the state, I don't know.
They can, I don't know if it's the route you want to take. I mean, they are giving us, you know, free money for the water system, and it's going to come. But I can check in with our grant writer that's handling those agreements and certainly see if there's any specific hang-up or anything like that, or if it's just one of those things that's caught up with the state and taken a while to get signed.
They're
but I'm happy to look
they're waiting
that.
For the new pens to arrive.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the Army Corps of Engineer grant funds are available for reimbursement. We just don't have the matching funds available yet, so that's what's
cool.
Holding us up.
All right, is that it for everybody? Well, all right, thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.
See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, I guess next we have a report from Metro.
I don't see him here.
We don't have anybody from Metro here tonight. Okay. So now we're on to the report from BLM.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot but if you guys have any questions for the law enforcement in the BLM, we've been pretty busy lately, but you know, 159. I know there was concerns about commercial traffic and things. We've been talking with NHP commercial unit. Hopefully, we'll get some more people out here to help with that. But anything pressing that you all want to ask?
Well, lots at our last meeting, Metro was here, and it was mentioned that. The off-roaders along 160 and some other areas were whipping it up pretty good. So Metro said that they were going to be looking into that. I mean, according to the meeting minutes, what did it say here?
Do you know the locations you're talking about? Like 160 corridor, just...
The discussion was about 160. Yeah.
It's about 160, where the pipeline goes
where
through,
the pipeline.
Crosses 160. And then they go from there and they rip up the road up to the gas station and they rip back. And you see all the time these guys running up and down 160 in their off-road vehicles and this huge dust storm following.
Yeah,
I know they're supposed to be 200 feet from the highway, but...
Well, they're not allowed to be on there.
They're not allowed to be, but there's no enforcement.
Yeah.
Well, so if you haven't noticed, there hasn't been very many signs out there.
There are no signs out there.
Exactly. Our signs keep getting torn down.
Right.
So we will continue to work as best we can at trying to curb that. but with no signage, it's very difficult for us to enforce. So we do a lot of education at this point, and hopefully, you know, more signage. It seems like the right thing to do, but we keep having problems with our signs being torn up and destroyed.
That seems to be a theme.
It yeah. does seem to be a theme.
We have that in Calico Basin, too, where our signs go. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I had a concerned citizen ask if they heard that they were going to put pit toilets up by the Upper Cottonwood Springs parking lot. And they were concerned about a
so
pit.
There are pit toilets up there.
By the Upper Cottonwood Springs?
Yeah.
No, there's not.
Like, I mean, we might not be calling it the
like
same.
Mile 17?
Well, no, on 159.
159.
Right here, this road. The road that connects us to the loop.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking two different places.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm just talking. This is a whole other question. So you know where the upper Cottonwood Springs is, the bird sanctuary, and there's that parking lot next to it? Just right, you're going up the road, and there's all, where all the trees are, and then there's...
It's right across from the truck route.
Oh.
The road that goes up, it's right across.
Yeah, by Oliver Ridge. Well, between Oliver Ridge.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. What is it called?
Is that Wheeler Camp?
Wheeler, yeah.
Yes, Wheeler Camp.
Wheeler.
Is that Pullock, mm-hmm. you mean?
Yeah.
And it's a parking lot?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, Wheeler Springs.
I was reverting Wheeler
Camp. So the concern was that there was going to be a pit toilet there, and that's like right where our spring head is. Or there's,
I haven't heard anything about that.
Oh,
no,
good.
No.
Okay. Not happening.
I mean, we do have some vault toilets planned in some of these, after we finish some of these ramps that we're doing, the recreation area management plans, and the legacy trail and things like that. We're going to, you know, bring forth more vault toilets. But
is that what you're meaning? Because pit toilets, we don't use pit
yeah.
toilets.
Okay, so I mean, that's what the person, the
yeah.
I'm just repeating.
Okay.
And
yeah.
a pit toilet, I mean, a vault toilet is contained, right?
Yeah,
right.
So that's what we put out there. Yeah. And we've got to address that because there's more people coming out for sure.
Oh, for sure. Definitely, thank you. I will let them know.
Did you have more questions for law enforcement? Okay, so I just quickly, hi everyone, my name is Katrina Williams and I am the field manager for the Red Rocks Zone Field Office, Bureau of Land Management, and I know that you might have noticed a new face here. And so I wanted to introduce Shedra Rakestraw. So Josh Travers, that's been, you know, coming to the meetings regularly. Right now he's on a 120-day detail assignment to the Tuscarora field office in Elko, Nevada. So different from here, right? Yeah. He said it was 8 degrees there.
They didn't ask us.
I was gonna say,
I know.
Elko in the winter, you know?
So, you know, he's, you know, getting a lot of experience over there and a lot of cold over there.
I object.
Is there a Walmart there? I'm not
sure. I think so. Yeah. I'd be surprised there wasn't a Trader Joe's there.
Yeah.
But
so to keep things going, we had to fill behind Josh for that time period. So this face might look familiar. It's Shedra Rakestraw. She's the project manager. She's worked on a lot of different projects at Red Rock. That we're doing, which we'll talk about in a sec, but she'll be filling in as assistant field manager. So when you were usually contacting Josh, you now go to Shedra for any questions that you have. Her phone number is 702-515-5375. Got it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're excited to show her the ropes around here. So she's going to be giving out some the briefings in just a second. I do have one that I just wanted to mention that's happening. So the Southern Nevada District Office, which our field office is under, just put out a press release based on the Biden Harris administration. We are looking to do some restoration around the district. And that would include Red Rock Canyon. And so there is a virtual meeting coming up. It's a virtual forum. It is scheduled for March 9th from 6 to 8. And basically, we're going to be looking at different trail systems and different resources out there to see and prioritize those resources throughout the district. So that's what the meeting's about, is to just get feedback on some of those areas that we're looking at and to prioritize those. So you can attend those virtual meetings, are really put together well, and you have opportunities to make comments. So.
Katrina, how do we connect to that meeting?
So it is a Zoom meeting. Uh-huh. Yeah. I can send the link out.
I think I got it. I will look. Okay, yeah, so yeah, please feel free to attend. Okay, hello, welcome. Thank you. Um, Shidra Ekstra, as she introduced, um, so I have some, I'm very close to these projects myself, so I can provide a little bit more details. But I'm going to keep it high level, of course. So just give me an update. I don't know if Josh shared a little bit about the ramps. Right now we're working on the Harris Springs ramp, which in EA, which we're at the stage of, we came from public meeting a couple weeks ago, and now we're at the stage of addressing the comments from the public. And actually today we discussed each comment by our resource specialist and also from the public. And so that's going back to the resource specialist just to review before it goes to like final 508 compliant and ready for the public just to redefine, well, for the decision record and the FONSI for Katrina to review and sign if need to be addressed as well. So any questions about Harris Springs? No? Okay. So then we have the Cottonwood Valley. That's probably more of interest here. It sounded like. We are now working on alternative issues and solutions with our EMPSI MC. They're the contractor who's working on the ramp and EA. It started about a year ago with John Prescott, who's the outdoor recreational planner for it now, and he's project leading it. So with that saying, we're gathering resource specialist comments and then meeting back with MC to really outline those issues and alternative solutions so we can start drafting the ramp and prepare for public meeting to address the draft ramp in EA. So it's under the way. That's the information I have for you, but do you have any questions about Cottonwood? Yes. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were trying to. Yeah, I was so eager. I'm like, yeah, what is it? I'm scratching. Thank you for that. And then Calico Basin. You probably are interested in Calico Basin ramp. Because the Harris Springs ramp has this tight timeline with SNPLMA, we are finishing up Harris Springs and also going to transition into Calico Basin, picking it back up where we're going to pay full attention to it. When I say full attention to it, working with EMC, who's also working on Harris Springs and Cottonwood Valley, just working with them to address, to draft the FONSI, the decision record, and the ramp is already ready to be reviewed by management and also by any, well, solicitors as well within the Bureau of Land Management. So that has a little bit more hands-on, of course, from the previous public meetings that we had with the community and also the Calico Basin community that we had too. So any questions about Calico Basin ramp?
Well,
look at it too.
You know, I don't know what to ask because, you know, we've been told a lot and so we're just kind of waiting for stuff to happen. But, you know, for the record, I came home the other day at about 2 in the afternoon and there were 43 cars stopped at the highway on Calico Basin Road waiting to get out there. So whatever you're going to do, you should do it soon. You got that? I'm not saying anybody did anything wrong. They were just people. There was a sign. The sign that usually says Red Rock Loop reservations required. It said Calico Basin full. And but it, you know, look, people go wander in there, and then they all got to get out. And there was a lot of traffic on the 159, and took a while to make any turns either direction. So. Yeah, I'm glad I was going home, you know, instead of trying to leave. So,
And the access to and from Calico Basin will be addressed in the Legacy Trail project, mm-hmm. which includes deceleration lanes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pulling into Calico Basin, so that's
one. Right. I think getting into the basin has been less of a problem than getting out.
Because.
You know, I don't know. I don't typically see a big jam getting in, but what happens is people all decide to leave around whatever time. It's time for a late lunch or whatever after they've been hiking, and now they're all lined up. And when the highway's clogged in both directions, you can't just pull out into traffic. And so it's going to be an interesting problem to solve. Let's put it that way. Is there any beacons of hope that I could share with my neighbors in Calico Basin? What's going to be? I think the traffic and trail impact and stuff like that, those are all some of the biggest issues. I know people ask a lot about what's going to happen with the bike trail, how it's going to cross Calico Basin and how that's going to affect stuff and how that will be regulated, et cetera.
Well, that's a good segue into the next project update, which is the Legacy Trail itself. So we are planning, preparing the EA document to be 508 compliant with federal highways, of course. And so with that said, we're planning for the public meetings that happens within probably a month or so once we get that document compliant. We are also preparing for dry runs internally and also with federal highways to address what's going on with the Legacy Trail Phase 1. So, of course, we're calling it Phase 1, 2, and 3. So Phase 1 is broken up into one segment, and, of course, that's from the Summerlin all the way up to Calico Basin. And with that, Sam, addressing the Calico Basin ramp and EA would also address like how the Legacy Trail would intercept with Calico Basin. So that, with the deceleration lane as well, like what Katrina shared too, that is a part of our presentation to speak on. I know Josh is very close to this project more than I am, like when it comes, because he was here before I started and that project started in the beginning. But to your question about are we going to address like that intersection, that's something I can that's something I can bring back to Josh and see how can we address that with the legacy plan for the public meeting. So that's a good input to share that.
Something I've been very curious about is for this segment from Summerlin to Calico Basin on the Legacy Trail, is most of that's a wash. Can you give me any clue what the plan is on where that's going to go so it's not in the wash? Does it get pushed way out towards the highway? Is that the plan for that area?
So there are like two different alternatives that will be proposed in this public meeting, just showing where the trail would go. There would be that presentation from Federal Highways, from BLM and Federal Highways to show how it could come into like from the wash or closer to the edge of 159.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. I sort of thought that with all the talk about it, that we were already into that stage, but we have more meetings left to go to figure out the actual path that the trail will follow.
Well, those are the discussion points when we do bring it to the public.
I see.
That you have a chance to comment on and ask questions more about what is suiting for the public use.
Like, it's designed already, like yeah. 95% or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, we're in
right?
designing and planning, and NEPA is almost there, 508 compliant. We're just making sure the appendices are in compliance.
Does it still have the loop? I know Josh added in the return loop on the other side of the highway. Is that still in there?
So I think you're referring, so that's it.
It was like 1A he had on his diploma application.
So I think there's a couple of different options there of a return, and I think that may fall into a different segment,
a different phase,
which I can provide an update on a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, segment two, three, and four, which is phase three, follow me, it connects from Calico Basin all the way up to here, actually, Blue Diamond area, has been funded by SNPLMA, so that crosses the NCA, of course, so... Right now, we're at the phase of, we have our work plan for SNPLMA. It's been approved of how we're going to initiate this project. And then with that, we're submitting our initiation letter soon so we can have that approved, so we can have access to the funds, so we can start the planning, design, and NEPA work for it as well. And so we're planning to work with Federal Highways again with phase three for segments two, three, and four. Of course, with this NEPLMA funding for phases two, three, and four, it will cover one, the design, planning, and construction, follow me for a second, for, 2A and 2B, so that's planning, design, and construction. And then design only for 3. And then in the future, hopefully we can look for additional funding programs for 3, construction, design for 4.
So it's nice to have those shelf-ready yeah. projects. Like if we can design for something, maybe we don't have the full funding for it. At least it's ready to go when we are able to find some more funding to continue on with some other a compatible and connected trail, the legacy trail.
I thought that what I remembered is that it was put in for $60 million approximately,
yeah,
and then it got
million.
Split out, right? And I thought... it was only 30,
oh, yeah, yeah, right.
30, and then the second 30 was going to be on round 19.
We cannot promise.
But I mean, was it submitted?
Accepted.
It was
we submitted. Round 19, but we can't promise that it will be accepted, and that's the reason why I said looking for hopefully funding to support 3 and 4. But yes, it was submitted for round 19, and hoping that if. Making sure that we are successful with all SNPLMA projects that weighs heavy on this legacy trail and other SNPLMA projects within the Southern Nevada District Office, it's very important that Harris Springs also is completed successfully because it is funded by SNPLMA on a tight and we have a tight timeline. So with that saying, we want that to be successful. So when round 19 comes up, we have something to say. We executed, we implemented, and this is our proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so round 19 could be considered for the 3 and 4.
It's probably, like that was November, so has it, is it probably gone before executive committee already, right? Round 19?
No.
Not yet.
Because they have their... I did an internship at the state office, and I was in SNPLMA at the state office a couple years ago. And so they have like a spring meeting that they come together and start discussing different things, and come into like June, July, and start having their summer meeting to discuss a little bit more about the projects and everything. And so we don't know when they make a decision or anything. We just know when we get the notification saying, oh, it's available, and if you received it, you'll be notified. So,
and I wanted to add on to that too, talking about Simple Note. I don't know if everybody knows Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act is Simple Note. It's great that the district has put out a press release regarding a competitive sale that's going to be happening in the district. It's been a while, and so that revenue generated from these land sales is that goes into that pot of money that allows us to apply for this funding. So we're hoping to continue with that and have a successful land sale. And keep replenishing that money so that we can, you know, be competitive and and complete everything. So we are looking at hiring a couple project manager term positions to work strictly on these Simple Note projects. Mm-hmm.
And the timelines are they're special to me. So with that, the last part segment. Phase three, segment five from here all the way down. The last communication really I have had, they're still doing like conducting NEPA, bringing that together with the analysis and also designing a planning. So I don't have any more information for phase five. I know it's underway because that is a federal highways project as well. So things are moving along, maybe slowly. Of course, Josh has shared like input from Body Springs, talking about the Latency Trail being in that right away, of course, or for recreational use and everything. So that's the information I have for the Legacy Trail for phases 1, 2, and 3. But I hope that does bring some type of information to know what is going on within 159 and 160 for you. Any questions? Yes. I'm so eager.
Okay. You don't really have much information on phase five. Which would go down to Fort Apache and also extend down into Mountain's Edge. Is there a slim or chance that as the funding becomes available that there may not be funding for five in the future? It may stop at Blue Diamond?
I believe five is funded with
It is funded?
It's from a flap grant.
Okay.
It's different.
Yeah, the two ends are funded.
Yeah. Okay, the two ends, it's just the middle. It's just the middle.
Yeah.
And then just something for the future when it comes to the design. I would imagine that going from Wallapai there, where there's supposed to be the parking lot there, and then going down towards Mountain's Edge, I would assume that they would go under 160? That's open for interpretation.
Yeah. We have a virtual meeting. We don't have the EA developed yet, and so that might be an alternative.
Something that gets looked into at this point in time. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
But once the press release goes out for phase one, I encourage you to sign up. That's something I'm working on now to make sure we have the communication ready with our public affairs official and just ensuring that the public has enough time to read the draft EA and the ramp that goes along with it, and then just making sure that we address your comments there. For the Legacy Trail, and when the Cottonwood Valley comes out too, I'm sure we're going to see you and hear you as well. A couple more things I would like to bring to your attention is so FNC is partnering with BLM, of course, on a mountain bike program. So they have had they're hosting. Or they have hosted one tabletop like this past Saturday or something. But on March the 19th and also I think in April, they're hosting two more, April 9th at 7:30 a.m. until 10 a.m. on how to mountain bike, why it's important to mountain bike, and where to mountain bike at. And so they encourage you, Cottonwood Valley late night exit parking lot on Saturday. Yeah. So that's the area where they're going to be meeting on March 19th and April 9th. So they encourage you to participate, come out, and learn a little bit more if you want to bring people, other community leaders, and your friends. They encourage you to bring them as well. So that's the good news there. Of what's going on in the neighborhood, they say, right?
So you said that there's a mountain bike meeting at the late night parking lot on March 8th, you said what?
March 19th.
March 19th.
April 9th. And from 7:30 a.m. until 10 a.m.
Both days?
Yes, both days. I believe they previously had one on February 19th, this past Saturday. And so this is all about leave no trace. Yeah, that's the update I have for you there.
Do you know how they publicize those?
I do not.
Southern Nevada Conservancy has their website. When anybody pulls up, types in Red Rock, it goes straight to Southern Nevada Conservancy's website, built for Red Rock. And so they have all their different programs on that web, posted on the website. And in fact, we are working with Southern Nevada Conservancy right now on building, having them build a cell phone app.
Yeah.
That they could get that information now from their cell phone, not just going to the website. Mm-hmm. And so it would have a lot of similar things on there. So we expect that to come out to mm-hmm. the public soon. I'm not sure if it's going to be on Apple or Google, but
well, it'll be available. It actually came across my email today for Annika to proofread. So that is under wraps as well. We're having one of our interp education park rangers to proofread the app and make sure it's ready to go for trial, for people to test out and explore and experience it a little bit more. So with that saying, maybe we can just make sure that the program, mountain bike program, is probably one that we can highlight a little bit more with them and see where it's placed at and communicate that back with you all to test it out and everything. And so after the mountain bike meetings on each day, she didn't say each day, but she said after presenting three tabletops, they will kick off a mountain bike riding ride in the fall where participants can mountain bike with Emily and Michelle, one of our park rangers. So, yeah. Any more questions for me?
By the way, yeah. if you had something to do with the newspaper article on the bike path, the Legacy Trail, about a week ago, great job. I know.
I would love to take
the
credit, but that
was. I know they quoted Commissioner Jones a lot in there, so they might have went to him and given him the input. But
good press is great.
Yeah,
but it's good to get that out there so people know what is coming down the road.
Yeah.
I should say coming down the road, because.
But
it's good that people get that, and yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
I did want to introduce one more person. We're just long-winded today. Another face that might be familiar is Aaron McDermott from the Friends of Red Rock Canyon. He's been a longtime partner with us. They went out to the state of Nevada and secured a grant for $145,000 for us to start another ramp.
Yeah.
La Madre's.
Yeah, right. So we did Aaron McDermott, Friends of Red Rock, and we got a grant from the state of Nevada to do another recreation area management plan for an area we're calling the La Madre Foothills, and that's the eastern border of the NCA, right where all of that housing development is happening. So it's a 30,000 acre planning area That funding, we'll have it open to us for about 2 years. BLM has a lot going on, and so this is coming down the pipe, but we're really thrilled that the state of Nevada liked our petition to them. We created kind of a lot of urgency, right, with all those homes being built. You know, we're kind of talking like the Gilmore Cliff Shadows area part of the NCA. So we're really excited to be partnering with BLM that? In that way.
Where is that?
So that's going to be off of right near Lone Mountain,
kind of on the rock side.
Yeah, and so when you see like at the end of Ann Hall Development, and then the NCA, you know, the NCA goes all the way up to Kyle Canyon Road. So kind of south of Harris Springs and north of Calico Basin on the eastern side of the NCA. So we're excited. But again, BLM has a lot going on, so we're really happy that this grant window's fairly large. We've got 2 years to do this work.
So
we're really excited. We co-manage the volunteer program at Red Rock and help with partnerships. So always here to support, to reach out if you need anything.
Did you guys give Josh a heavy jacket when he went up there? Because
we're thinking about him so much. We've all heard from him a little bit because he's still very much involved. And every time I think we all get different snow reports.
Yeah.
So today we have to tell him, hey, it was snowing here too. So, but he's up in Elko a little bit more than Vegas.
Did they update on the land and water application for the Marco claims?
I haven't heard anything.
Do we know what the timeline is?
No. Okay. Not forgotten.
Pauline, for what claim?
There was a. We had put in. It's for purchasing Margo claims, which is right. It's 200 acres across from the exit to the loop.
Mm.
Yeah, there's
really?
200 acres of private land there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working with the BLM on trying to get it purchased from the private landowner.
That's pristine, right? That's
that's
the pristine
no
as opposed to mined and everything. Right. So it's a nice piece.
Mm-hmm. Very strategic.
But you know, you guys, everybody here, just thank you for all your support and great questions. Clark County, you know, is our great partner as well. Doing great things with us, and so it takes all of us to, you know, make some good things happen. So we appreciate it.
We appreciate you guys being here.
I have a question for BLM though. So at the last meeting when Josh was here, we talked about some issues on the south side of 160, and he said that's not in his area. What is the southern boundary of your management area? Is it 160?
It goes beyond 160.
I think it goes over. What is that street? I forget. One of the street like Colca or something like that. And they're even it. Red Rock weaves in and out of Las Vegas field office over here off the 159 too, by the Blue Diamond Hill area too. So it's just a weird shape.
Right, because what he referenced is that was not part of his field office, that was somebody else, which there's a segment of what we're responsible for that's part of that, but yet we have no representative from the BLM for that. So how do we get our questions and our concerns to them?
I can take that information and go to them, and also you could reach out to them at 515-5000. And asked to speak to someone in the Las Vegas.
And you go in that loop, and then you never hear back.
But I can certainly take some information.
I'd like to talk to you after the meeting then. Okay.
Yeah, and for law enforcement, we run all of Southern Nevada.
Okay.
So I don't have a boundary for Red Rock.
Okay.
I run everything.
Hmm. So we talk about all these great programs for the running trails and the bike trails and all this great stuff, but nobody talks anything about these off-road vehicles that we have problem with and that there's no facilities for them. And you have trails that they're allowed to run on, but there's no parking, there's no, like you said, there's no signs. Well, you got no place for them to go, so they park on my road, they park across the street, they park at the pumping station for the gas thing there. They're all over because there's nothing to support them, but yet they support our economy like everybody else does. So what's in the plan to do something for this? Put in a parking lot, put in a place. You got parking lots for people to dump their horses, you got parking lots for people to ride their bikes, but you have no parking lots or facilities for the off-road vehicles. Is there something?
Those are really good questions, and we should bring them up because the closure for Las Vegas Valley has been in place since 1996, and that's closed to all off-road travel, target shooting, and camping.
No, these are just the off-road vehicles that use the trails.
Correct. It's yeah. all closed.
It's really not supposed to be there.
Supposed to be
there. You're not even supposed to be there.
Nope.
There's your problem then, I guess. Yep. So none of Clark County units are supposed to operate any off-road vehicles.
There's a boundary, but yeah,
it's Las Vegas Valley.
Yep, the whole valley.
Okay.
And if you want to look at the closure maps, they're all online.
Okay.
From our BLM webpage. Yeah, it's a big issue and a big problem, and we try to address it as much as we can. But it's a big area.
Okay.
We do have a lot of open areas for off-road travel, camping, target shooting. It's just all out of the valley itself.
They all come down by me. Sounds like Sunny Valley.
Like Cottonwood Valley is like the first open area for OHVs.
Okay.
On us. That's close to you guys.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And if anybody that she brought up the, Katrina talked about the forum for restoration opportunities. Oh, I found it.
Thanks.
So if you're interested, there's that's that. I knew I'd gotten it.
Okay, so everybody on the BLM stuff, we're all good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Thank you all for your reports and.
All right, that's me.
And that's what I suspected, that Clark
yes,
County Administrative Services
that's
was here.
I've got all sorts of stuff to tell you.
Okay.
So the RV park that came and talked last month, they have not been to the Board of County Commissioners yet, so I don't have an update on that because they haven't been through that yet. I'm working with Public Works on, we talked about Arroyo and the legality of it, who does, what are the rules of the maintenance. It's kind of been one of those that just exists, and we kind of help take care of it. And so the county surveyor is looking into that to see if we need to do anything, what kind of maintenance agreements we have. And I wish Barbara was here, but they're looking at removing the dots. So that's Barbara's. She hates them. So I can't promise anything, but they're looking at it.
They're looking at removing the what was over
the dots. There's those
the bot dots.
I guess they're called buttons. I call them dots, and they were like, "What?" So the buttons,
mm-hmm.
the blah 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 blah. Anyway, got it. So we had talked about neighborhood meetings when there are neighborhood meetings and the CAC members don't get invitations to them. So I talked to planning, and if it is a required neighborhood meeting for planning, that's not a voluntary one, because some places do voluntary ones. If it's a required one, they send an invite to the secretary, and they said that we can forward those to the CAC members. But there's some caveats with that. Mm-hmm. If you go to that meeting, you can't discuss anything with each other. You can't really even discuss anything at the meeting. This is cause problems in other areas, because that means you guys are getting two bites at the apple. You're getting to go there and here, and you get to vote on it. So there's also been problems in other areas where CAC members have tried to sway the opinions of people at the meetings, and this has caused a lot of problems. So we will start sending them out to you guys. We'll send them. But I'm going to send you a list of the things you need to be careful of if you decide to attend those meetings, because it's not meant for decision making. This is where the decision making is made. So just be careful. Don't get us in trouble. Don't get me in trouble. So I'll send you the information. Eagle Ranch Road, I sent that in. They're looking at it again.
Okay.
Pickleball, I haven't done anything with that. I'll get on the pickleball thing.
Thank you.
Rick Rexius had brought up the landscape business on Blue Diamond, Eagle Ranch. Yeah. I am talking with the gentleman that runs that. It's not really a business right now, but we are going to be working together on that to get that into compliance. So he's very anxious to make it right and
mm-hmm.
do a good job.
He asked me to. He's out of town. He asked me to find out about it.
that business and what's going on.
Who asked you? Rick?
Steve Tidwell on the thing. So
Steve's the
is anything working on that or where he has all the practices?
It's in his ball. The ball's in his court.
Okay.
I've given him all the information. So now I've told him what needs to happen. It's all on him now.
Okay.
So
that's the reason I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Well, sorry. No, there's nothing for him to do until he gets his plans together. First step, put some plans together. So we talked about it. We laid it all out.
He was just concerned that they were complaining about him raising all the dust over there, and it wasn't him.
No, that has not been a complaint that I've gotten. So tell him to take a breath. We're good. We're good. We're gonna work together. The bulletin board at Kolka is gone.
Good job. Good job.
And that was another one where I had sent the request and it just went into the ether somewhere. And so I circled back today and cool. Everybody I sent it to said, well, we never saw this. So
thank you. Thank you.
The county can be frustrating. I hear you. Okay. So I have a couple other things. I have all sorts of stuff going on here. Sorry.
While you're on signs, the Bob Erskine sign, that one by his property, is that one going to be, is that?
I came legit? To look at it tonight, but I didn't see. I thought you said it was like one of the for sale signs for a subdivision.
Yeah, it was for D.R. Horton.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it. Is it still there?
It was.
Laura and I just drove by and we specifically looked and I didn't see it.
Convenience store, uh-huh. Bob Erskine's property, uh-huh. The antenna, and then it was
100 yards
to the east.
Okay.
Of the
okay. Well, we'll look on the way up because I need to see it myself to be able to describe where it is. Okay.
It was kind of back where the antenna would be, like back around that area.
I purposely looked, but I'll look on the way back.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, so at the end of the meeting last month, Bob had all sorts of questions, and so I have all sorts of answers. So one of the questions was about, it's about future development and how it's going to affect the area or potentially affect the area. I'll start with the real concrete ones that I can answer. If there were to be more development in the area, would State Route 159 need to be widened? Well, we don't know right now, but NDOT is starting a comprehensive study, and I have the dates, of the 159, the one SR 160, SR 159 corridor study. Right now, they're in the middle of doing the existing conditions, doing the research on the existing conditions. Then they will start traffic analysis and access management. That'll go from January to June. They are going to develop a vision corridor or corridor vision April to August, and they're going to have an action plan August to December with a draft hopefully this October.
That was January, June of this year?
Yeah. Oh, and okay. I'm going to send you all this. I have told them we want to know all about it.
Cool.
They are going to have public meetings. They say they're April 1st and April and August of this year. So I told them, please let me know as soon as you get those scheduled so I can share it with you. So there's one question to take care of that they're working on it. So it's we don't know if it's going to be widened.
Right.
But if it needs to be, they are looking at it. Okay.
Do you want it to be? Do I want it to be? No.
I don't think any of us want it to be.
But it was just one of those questions that was out there.
And I don't know, and widening may not be what it takes. Maybe there's some other ways to handle it with turnouts or things. So that's what they're looking at every. You asked if there were more developments, could they hook up to the sewer facility here at Blue Diamond? I did not get an answer back yet from my guy at the Clean Water team. But I did go back and look at the property, the project that was approved on the corner, 159 and 160, that northeast corner that had the 129 homes. And on the conditions on that approval were, applicant was advised that at the time of construction, the water RIC will require estimated water flow rates from all phases of the proposed project at build-out and submittal of civil improvement plans before sewer point of connection can be approved. So they're saying, before you can build it, you got to tell us how you're going to hook up to the sewer. Okay. So I would say that says anything further down, they're anticipating sewer. I don't know what else can go on to these ponds. I think we talked about it before, and it was only, it's only for here, but I didn't get that answer yet. So as soon as I get the answer, I will share it.
Maybe I heard that a little different, but the way it sounded like the way you said it was that before, it sounded like that you explained it as they can't build it till they come up with a plan for the water use thing. It sounded like what you read was that they can go ahead and build it, but they can't connect till they have a plan.
At the time of construction, they'll be required water flow rates and submittal and before sewer connection can be approved.
Are they required to connect to bring the water line out?
That's a completely separate question. Right. Yeah. So I'm handling sewer right now. I got them all laid out here.
Oh,
so
okay.
The way they wrote it is a little funky, but one way or the other, they have to do sewer. Whether it's before they build, after they build, at some point they have to do sewer. That's the only option for that.
Well, I just feel like if there's ambiguity, they could build it, and then the pressure to let them connect will be very high.
Well, no. I will tell you, when that subdivision comes in, they will have to do, it's called a tentative map, which will come through here, and before they can go to the final map to create those lots, Water Rec has to sign off on it. So they won't even get that far. So they're not going to slip through any cracks. They're not going to suddenly show up and have, you know, houses with vault toilets. You know, I mean, they have to hook up to somewhere. Okay. So yeah, like I said, I don't know how much. I think these were designed just for the community.
Okay.
But I'll get that answer. Okay. Going right along. You had so many questions. I have to.
Sorry about that.
You're not sorry at all. I know after 10 years, you're not sorry at all. So don't even play that. Okay.
You've only been on this for 10 years?
No, I've been the liaison for 10 years. This July will be 10 years. One thing was about the 90 acres that just sold over here.
Right.
I will tell you, I wasn't allowed to say anything because I know a lot of stuff that goes on that isn't for public information, but the person that bought it had approached the commissioner and I about a potential cemetery there.
Yeah.
We didn't say yes or no. It's a very interesting proposition. And I've been doing some research on xeriscape cemeteries in different parts of the world and different parts of the country. It's very interesting. But he has not approached us with an actual project or application. So the name of the company is Red Rock Memorial. I'm thinking that's the direction they're planning to go. But it will be, if that's what they come in with, it'll be a very, very, something very interesting to look at and learn about. So that's all I know on that one. And I would say that would have very little need for sewer other than and minimum water use. So yeah, it's probably a pretty decent use, but we'll see. Okay. This is you guys. Will Blue Diamond continue to use well water, or will the town have to hook up to Lake Mead water? And I think, let me say, I think that's what you talked about before, NRS, if it was this far.
You're asking if the village of Blue Diamond is ever going to get hooked up to the municipal water system? That's the age-old question when it comes to Blue Diamond. The answer is, I mean, that's always going to be an option that's out there simply because of Blue Diamond's relative proximity to the municipal water system. And that's just the nature of the beast. That being said, there are currently no plans to hook this town, the town of Blue Diamond, up to the municipal water system.
Part of our plans for upgrading the system is the hope that we might be able to do an exploratory well and sink another well. There'd be no need to do that if we were going to hook you up to the municipal system.
Well, it's every 10 years the contract comes up with the plant, correct? I mean, could the plant at some time say, hey, we don't want to do this anymore, or what is what?
There's a quit claim deed where they quit claim deeded 125 acre feet to the
okay
to the village of Blue Diamond. So that's signed and done. So they owe us, you know, 125 acre feet a year.
Okay, good to know.
How much do they have?
Oh God,
flashes. I think
I feel like the total is 650 or
699.
And I think Blue Diamond gets 150
and 49 for the.
Oh, so is it 150 not 125? Did I miss on that one? Okay.
Yeah,
so
and is the water is the water actually there? I mean, well, yeah, right,
it is right now.
It is right now.
Because that being said, Blue Diamond, I mean, Rose Blue Diamond does not use its full, that full 150 foot.
Right, we discussed that recently, actually. But when you talk about hooking up to the, municipal water, I mean, I thought you could just probably just sub in this chart for the availability of water in the future in the Vegas Valley, you know what I mean? I mean, like, every time I go to Lake Mead, it's lower and lower and et cetera, so.
Yeah. As I said, I mean, the drought's happening everywhere.
Exactly.
It's not just Blue Diamond, for sure.
How come they don't put a moratorium on Las Vegas for building? They keep building and we're running out of water.
Yeah, I mean, and that's mainly because in Valley, because of our proximity to Lake Mead, actually, we have learned how to develop in a water-efficient manner. I mean, we've increased since 2000, I think, 700,000 people, and we've decreased our per capita water use by almost half. So it's not really a matter of if you build or grow, but it's how you build or grow. And we're kind of full gas right now on taking some additional steps, more aggressive water conservation measures in the valley, so that we can continue to diversify the economy and grow.
All right, next question. With the approval of approximately 29 homes on the 72 acres by the nursery, which is the subdivision I was talking about earlier, give developers greater justification for increased density? The answer is anybody can ask for anything.
Right.
And they have. That developer came to Commissioner Jones and asked for more density. And he said, don't even ask me that question. Get out of my office. I don't know if he said that. but it was like...
Are you talking about the America West?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, no. It's not going to happen. So yeah, anybody can ask for it. Anybody can try to justify and say, well, they get more. That doesn't mean they're going to get it. So, and just like I said last time, when that developer came in and wanted to come across Wallapai and get the land use plan changed, it was a hard no from Commissioner Jones and the entire district, the entire board. So yes, people are probably going to ask for more density in those places where they can. It would be a case-by-case basis. And if there were some compelling, amazing, gorgeous project that everybody liked, maybe it'd be worth it. But that would only be in the places where it's allowed, those few sections. Otherwise, it's a no. So yeah. Yes, they may use other justification. Doesn't mean they're going to be successful.
Right. I guess the key would be when the land use plan comes up, the Northwest Land Use Plan is, and then people can ask to get their property. I shouldn't use the word zone because that
reclassified
as something different. We'll kind of have an idea of what people are thinking and then we get to vote on it. The commissioners get to vote on it, whether they approve it or not. But on the 72 acres, they were classified as RE at that point in time, as half acre lots. So they were legitimate. It was a conforming zone change.
Yes,
it wasn't even a zone change. It was a conforming plan.
It was already RV, right. So they didn't have to do a zone change. And I would say that project was a lot better than some they tried to come in with.
Right.
Had a lot of open space and things like that.
And they
followed
the Red Rock overlay.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So in those sections where it requires more density, maybe there would be some sort of project that would be acceptable. We don't know that until someone brings us. But for the rest of it, it's a no. No more density.
Good.
Okay.
Good to know. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, would Lake Mead Water allow for more water meters and greater density in Blue Diamond? No.
No.
No, because density isn't just based on water. I know here we talk about water and water and water. Density is based on a lot of things. It's based on the land use plan. It's based on infrastructure. It's based on the size of the roads. It's based on what people want. So water is not the the deciding factor. And when that project, the Tiburti project, was approved years ago, there wasn't a water problem. There was plenty of water, and they didn't get more density than what they got. So just because there would be more water doesn't suddenly mean like, oh, let's go crazy. And there's a finite amount of land that is in Bhutan, and you can't go beyond that. So the answer is no. Okay. If it were Lake Meadwater, it doesn't mean there might be five more, you know, or a couple more, but it's not going to be able to increase the density of Blue Diamond. Make sense?
Okay.
Finally, this is where I'm going to preach a little bit. Will the rural lifestyle be changed to an urban lifestyle if the density increases? Who knows? To me, Blue Diamond is darn right urban. You have a gas station. You have, street lights. Where I live, compared to where I live, this is super dense. So who says what's urban and what's rural? Rural's a state of mind. You know, I mean, I don't know. So that's a pretty loaded question.
Yeah.
Blue Diamond has an apartment, a little apartment complex. I don't know if you call it complex. Does that make it urban? I don't know. Indian Springs has a municipal water system, but they're definitely still a rural community. So the things I think you can continue to work for and fight for, the state passed legislation to do dark skies. I think we need to look into that, or help you guys look into that, not we. You guys need to look into that. There are things that will keep what some of us think of as rural. So those are the things you need to fight for, is those things that you can have a say in. So, and again, I think rural's a state of mind. I mean, you guys can't have cows or horses, or for the most part, horses. I think that's crazy, you know, that because that's not rural. But it doesn't mean you're not rural. I mean, so it's, I don't think there's a quantifiable answer for that.
Well, how do we look into that dark sky thing?
Mount Charleston is all over it, so they keep me informed of all the progress. Okay. So it's still being drafted. It has not, the bill created the legislation to go ahead and create the program. So they're still creating the program. So as soon as there's direction, I will bring it to you guys. Okay. But right now they haven't created the program.
Okay.
That was just, they got the go ahead to start to create the program to go ahead then. So I will bring that to you. But so those are the things I think you should focus on.
And
that was all your questions.
I understand what you said, but I guess you'd have to have lawyers involved in this, because it gets confusing when you are the rural liaison, right, for this area.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the word rural in there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's, you see what I'm saying? Even though there's a restaurant here, and there isn't somebody here that has like 5 acres with animals on it and stuff like this. So it's kind of like,
when people ask me about what I do that aren't in Las Vegas, because it always has to be explained, what's a liaison? Mm-hmm. My idea of rural is that we are not directly connected to the city. We are away from the city. And each of my communities, I have 10 communities that I cover, every one of them is completely different. Good Springs and Sandy Valley are right over the hill from each other, completely different. Good Springs is pretty darn close. It's completely walkable. You can walk the whole town. It's got small lots. And then, you know, Sandy Valley is really spread out. Trout Canyon is completely off grid. So I don't think the rural, because people in town that live on half acres call themselves rural, you know, and are they any less rural? I don't know. I mean, they're allowed to call themselves rural. It's all a state of mind. So for me, it is outside of the city.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to interpretation, and I'm not arguing with you here or anything else. It's like when you read something where is it the land use plan or wherever, where they consider a half acre lot large acre, and most people would say half acre. That's
right.
So it just comes down to when it comes down to somebody that comes in with a presentation that we have the answers, and that's basically
right.
what I was trying to look at. So thank you for getting
and
those
answers. And I
would say,
think about
it.
What you think of as rural. Lack of sidewalks. Not one of my towns has sidewalks. Maybe that's part of it.
That was something I was specifically looking for when I moved to Calico Basin.
No sidewalks. No sidewalks. Yeah. So maybe that's rural. You know, I mean, who's to say what it is? And I would think people on the East Coast that live in Boston or New York think we're all rural out here. So I
still think we have gunfights out here.
I know. So, well, you know, Sandy Valley, you know, corrupt, maybe. So that's my little preachy part of it. And of course, this is my whole job, is being rural is in the title of my job. So I love it and I want to protect it too. Whatever you call rural, I want to be able to protect it for you. Yeah. So.
Because on the RV park that we heard last time, they wanted the waiver not to put in the sidewalk around.
Along the diamond.
Around there. So sometimes it would just seem like a sidewalk on many other streets that doesn't make sense. But there it would have made sense because you're bordering.
On the Diamond Road?
Yeah.
Well, I think we specifically asked about that, and they made the point that the sidewalk, because my thing was I was originally in favor of the idea of a sidewalk, and the idea was that I thought it would be a way to help people be able to pull over if they needed to use that segment of road, but their point was that there was a whole swale between the road and where the sidewalk went, and nobody was ever going to go to the sidewalk.
Well, after the meeting, I paid attention as I was driving. Well, I always pay attention when I'm driving, but as I was driving down the diamond, and there's the McDonald's, can't remember what the crossroad is, and it's the same side of the road, and there is a big ditch there. There's no sidewalk. There's no sidewalk there. I don't think you get sidewalks until you get down to the Target and that area. So it would be consistent with getting more rural as you come this way to not have sidewalks. But the county has one standard, and it says sidewalks. So they have to ask for the waiver so that it causes all this. So there you go.
It's interesting.
I know. Oh, believe me. Yep.
Thank you for all that work.
Sounds like you did a lot of hard work.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's hard work, but you know, I thought about a lot of stuff. That's hard work for me sometimes. Okay. That's it for me, unless somebody had some questions. Any questions for me?
Did we do the meeting dates last time at our last meeting? Or
we didn't.
Or were you going to somebody?
You know, we did it
out or whatever.
And it got,
or did we just?
It got confused. So the calendar, I just left it as is.
Okay.
And I just took the liberty of saying that we wouldn't meet between Christmas and New Year's. That week between Christmas and New Year's, I left the date, the time the same. You can't change the date. I left the time the same because I think this seems to work for everybody. If you want to go to 6:30, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, but. And I left every other meeting there. If we get close to the holidays.
So we'll just play it by ear.
I think that came down to, I think you left it at, you can always change it.
So. Yep, and I will be sending that out to you. I had to finalize a couple other, I don't want to send it 20 times, you know, as each town exchanges. So I'm getting it finalized this week.
And last thing, now that there's no masks, are we going to have that?
The training? We're talking about it. Janine, who is my supervisor, is watching the numbers. She's the county's coronavirus guru, and when she feels comfortable, we'll schedule it.
I want you to do that presentation.
I will be doing a presentation.
I'm asking for you because I know you love that.
I am nerdy that way. I love doing it, but this year we're going to have lots of different people doing presentations. So
good.
All right. Well, thank you. And, okay, we are fortunate to not have any planning and zoning issues this evening.
And Josh is not here from Desert Dash, so.
And so, any comments by the general public about meetings of interest to this council? No, we're all good. So next meeting is on March 30th, and I guess hereby adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I need your advice.
Sure.
So, this is Wigwam.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It's all here.
Okay.
It stops here.
Is it just to read or do you sell it here?
Okay.
They're over there.